Our conversation with the coach brought to you, as always, by Star Markets. Just for you, digital app earn rewards. Save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. While Scal on the TV side decided to go deep in your past, ask you about a game that did not go your way, I'm just going to do 72 hours, if that's okay with you. I know that the you're completely over the UConn game in the national championship, and you have no problem talking about it because it's not at all hurtful.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe he did that. 72 hours. I mean, how come you didn't go back at him? How do you just stand there and take it? I mean, one day you're just going to explode.
Because I'm guessing USC was in the NIT when he was there. I don't know.
See, that's all.
I didn't know where they had ended because I don't remember ever watching that team play when it mattered.
And now life is put back in place, and
that's
we can move on. I watched the Philadelphia game a couple of times and still felt like I had no feel for what seemed to be, on the surface, two very different games, but maybe more than two when you look back at it.
Well, we did a lot of good things, but we also had opportunities that we should have taken advantage of. And so, you know, not having Baines late in the game, not having Smart late in the game, not having Hayward, certainly those guys would all play a role against Philadelphia. But, you know, we had a 15-point lead. And we had multiple opportunities to increase that lead in the first half, and we were not good with the ball. We had two transition errors defensively at the end of the first half that hurt us. Smart's play hurt us. And then I thought in the last few minutes we did not defend the way that we were capable of defending. And they had something to do with that. They really attacked us. They have a physical advantage at a lot of positions, so you have to do a great job of holding your ground. You have to be helpful. You have to be take on that challenge, and they won that battle that night. That being said, I think you leave encouraged with what we're capable of should our paths cross again.
You mentioned it, and obviously the details of your conversation with Marcus, do you feel when it's all said and done 3 days later that he has a sense of just how important he is to this team in a situation like that?
Well, I think that I don't think there's any doubt removed from the emotions of the situation. We just have to make sure that, you know, everybody is available, focused on what's most important, and that is, you know, making sure we win the next possession. And that's easier said than done, and I realize there's going to be times, but there's a lot that goes into winning, and it's a lot easier to lose than to win. And so I think that we have to get a lot better at taking care of all the little things we can to be where we want to be.
As James Borrego's found out in his first year here, there are a couple of players in this Giannis, Harden, Paul George year that has been in the NBA to me that have been so good, so consistent at the highest level all year. And just for whatever reason, they don't get the recognition. There's always reasons for that, wins and losses, market size, all of it. But in the East, I think about Blake Griffin and the year he's had in Detroit. But Kemba Walker, man, I mean, he's literally played every game, which doesn't happen anymore. And there are very few superstars in this league you know are going to give you that high level every night.
Yeah, and I feel like we have this conversation every time we play Charlotte. He's good for the game. He plays hard. He's smart. He's competitive. He's got a special gear and ability that people enjoy watching. And he's a winner. And, you know, I think that ultimately he's proven that over and over. And he's a hard guy to play against. We have a great deal of respect for him, and we're going to have to be really good at guarding him.
What's interesting to me, and they've started to play a lot more of the younger guys here late in the year, but they've been pretty young. They've played them, spotted them throughout the course of the year. And despite the coaching change, a couple of new guys in the rotation, younger guys, yet the staple of this team the last few years, that they're an exceptionally low turnover team, that has continued.
That has continued, and that was a huge emphasis of Steve Clifford. That was always one of his main emphases, and that has continued. And that's why you have to play the right way to beat them. You know, they're going to get shots. They don't make silly mistakes. You have to play with great energy to make them miss, and you have to rebound. But then on the other end of the court, you can't be flippant with your offensive possessions.
That's the head coach. I understand you had a question for my son.
Yeah, so we just talked about a lot of stuff, Jack, that is a lot less important. But where are you with your brackets? Because you told me you wanted to tell me about them.
Okay, I have them right here, actually.
Okay. Did you have the first round graded yet out of the 32 games?
Oh, yeah.
How many did you get right?
We got all of them right.
You got all of them right?
I'm not guessing.
He likes to write them in afterwards.
What's that?
He likes to write them in afterwards.
Oh, you write them in afterwards.
Now, the coach
Do you pick based on what you know, or do you pick based on, like, something funky, like what their mascot is?
Coach Bradwell liked the team that you were rooting for last night.
Who were you rooting for last night?
Ohio State.
Yeah, go Buckeyes. I'm with you.
You are?
I am.
I told you why, right? Because the coach was connected to Butler.
That's right.
How much are your eyes drawn to this weekend? How much do you feel the pull towards the TV as these crazy four days are going on?
I'm a huge fan, and I appreciate the opportunity to be a fan. It is really fun to watch, and I think back to certainly all of the different times and highs that we got a chance to experience and some lows, you know, like – there were some games that didn't go our way, and man, you weren't sure the sun was going to come up the next day. But man, we were so lucky and fortunate to live those highs. And you know, I've said this before, I've never been to an NBA Finals, and I've never been fortunate to be standing there on the podium at the end as the champion. But those highs that we got, you know, on those rides to the Final Four were unlike pretty much any other thing you can experience in sports, I think.
That's the final word. Celtics and Hornets next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.